Oh, that's what that is. Girl, I fell on a party bus one time. That was many years.
And to have a good time, put a smile on your face, yeah. KB Cam and Elation Radio, even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KB Cam and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Get the way I walk. Yes, that's free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag.
Okay.
My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag. My Christ swag, yeah.
Yeah, I'm from the streets, south of the arch, man. Where I used to drink, roll up, and used to spark, man. Now I got my head straight, shining like a million bucks. Christ elevated me, going past the ceiling, bruh. St. Louis fitted, God Squad t-shirt. Homie, how you doing? Pleased to meet you, this my rebirth. Addicted to the word, it's pumping through my artery. Faith on the meal, the swag is a part of me. Now my glow bright, soul's been redeemed. Covered in the blood, no shower, cause I'm clean. Done playing games, rid of the Xbox, almost flatline. But Christ made my chest pop, walked on the edge. The devil made me wobble, Jesus took the wheel. Fast forward full throttle, still in the hood. Got that street slang, mixed with the spirit, it's a G thing.
Peep how I talk, check the way I walk. Been set free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag,
okay. Yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
God Squad,
this my
bruh.
Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag,
Cartier.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Look. My whole style come from Christ,
yeah.
So own it? No sir, you can't put a price. Like bite on rice, I got his blood on me. To be honest, I just care about my guy, homie. And if I'm only living for him, it don't really even matter what y'all think of me.
Nah.
Opinions, you can let them be. I'm killing it, I let them see. The old me is gone. Keep the demons out my heart, then Christ found a home.
Yeah.
No more Patron or Nitrous. I might just give God a praise with my best. He's highest. Glory in here.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Put my trust in the Lord. I ain't having no fear. No, I don't have a care. Besides pleasing my father, tell any hater you see, man, don't even bother. Cause Jesus is my medicine. I ain't never hurting. Catching waves of his glory. Man, I'm Christ swag surfing.
Yeah. I talk, check the way I walk. Been set free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect. God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag,
okay.
My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag.
God Squad.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Okay, I get it from my father.
Uh-huh.
Head to toe swinging on that word, that's the motto.
Yeah.
Used to be a up or down flipper like the Lido.
Uh-huh.
Roll with Big Frank and ST, old squad though. Now I'm aiming at the world with that blessed scope.
Yeah.
Hard repetition, stay flexing, holy rollers know. When you see that light shine, this ain't baby doe. He ain't got a VVS on him, what a freak show. No, but I'm close with my father though. I ain't Leroy, but the boy got a lot of glow. Took a whole lot of laying out to kill his ego. Missing my whole purpose like Shaq with them free throws. If you rapping vain, can't edify the people. Swag on 100, gaining speed, adios flow. And I'm top flow, reaching for his glory. You think I got some swag, Christ the one that poured it on me.
Check the way I
walk.
Been set free, cause my father paid the
cost.
No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag,
okay.
My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag. My Christ swag, yeah.
Down.
Yup, let's give it up for your Christ swag. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to another wonderful Friday on Relentless Pursuits on the Elation Radio. And I'm your host, Minister Cedric, and I'll be leading our discussion today. You know, just praising God for another opportunity to get it right. You know what I mean? I know that there's a lot of people who won't get another chance, if you know what I mean. They've gone on to be with the Father. And so I thank God for this opportunity. Today is, Friday, August 13th. Ain't that something special? 2021. So I just wanted to say thank you for being here. Now, just jumping right in our discussion tonight. We only have about an hour. I just want to talk a little bit about it. But man, I've been having something on my heart here lately. And I've really been thinking about how to love God more. I know in some of our previous discussions, we talk about what it takes. But I've been dealing with some things. And, you know, the more I deal or the more I think about these things that I'm dealing with, I'm saying, how can I be better prepared to deal with these things? How can I be better prepared to deal with adversity or the negativity that people have or anything of that nature? So I just been thinking, and I thought to myself, I said, you know, I think the solution is this. And I asked myself a question. I said, do you love God? And I always, you know, of course, I'm going to say yes to that. And then I started saying, okay, I really want to love God more. Because if what I do right now is loving God, and I know I come up short, I'm saying, oh, I want to learn how to love God even more so I don't keep coming up short, if you know what I mean. So I really been thinking about that, and one of the things I found in John 14:15, Jesus said, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, so here it is. If you love God, then you will obey him, right, and that's kind of the thing that I was going with that, the greatest commandment, if you think about it, when Jesus says what the greatest commandment was, he said basically it's like, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And if you go back, I believe it's in Matthew, but it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You know what I'm saying? So I said, okay. So Jesus, what you're saying to me is that loving God is at the top of the list. And if I want to be more like Christ, if I want to learn to do things more like God, that what we have to do, we have to love wholeheartedly. And check it out. Wholeheartedly. Not whole as in a hole in your chest heartedly. No. Whole as in a totalitarian thing. Not totally. Everything that is, everything that is, that's the way we have to love God. And so, that's kind of what I wanted to talk a little bit about tonight, and it's just a big thing, because check this out. One of the things I do know about trying to love God, I had to kind of reconcile this within myself, is that, do you understand that whatever it is that you feed in your life, that's what's going to grow. You don't believe me? Check this out. When you have a newborn baby and you feed this baby, you feed them physical food, the body grows. When you feed love to a baby, it loves you back. When you have a pet, you feed the pet, you love the pet, and you get growth back to you because that pet grows and that pet learns to love. So the love, everything grows. And the question I had to ask myself, I said, Cedric, what are you feeding? If you want to learn, here it is, if you want to learn to love God more, what are you feeding? And so I was like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? I was like, whoa. And so I was talking, and I was thinking out loud, and I said, okay, God, so what I'm supposed to be doing right now is I need to feed my spirit. Uh-oh. That's right. Feed my spirit. I believe that if you want to love God more, you have to feed your spirit. Right, and that way your spirit will grow stronger, and when your spirit grows stronger, here it is. We learn to love God more deeply. You know what I'm saying? We gain a how do I say it? Our appetite for life changes, right? And the way that it changes, and what I mean by our appetite for life, the things we do in life, it changes. What's important to us, it will change. And again, one of the ways that we do that is by clinging closer to God. You don't believe me? Like, check this out. When you read the Bible, you choose to read the Bible rather than watch TV. Right? You might have this favorite TV show that you love watching, but when you say, okay, you know what? Whenever I feel the need to watch this show, I'm going to pick up my Bible. What you start to do at that point is you start to feed your spirit. And this is how you know. Because that fleshly feeling you have for that TV show, it starts to die down. See, we start to starve the flesh. We stop doing that thing that I want to do, and we start to do that thing that I know I need to do. And pretty soon that thing that we didn't want to do that we know we need to do becomes the thing not only that we do, but we want to do it. So we start to change. And what that does is that starts to allow our love for God to increase. Yeah. So that brings me to a point here. And before I jump into that point, I want to go ahead and introduce my co-host, my partner in crime, J-Dub. Jason, are you on with me tonight? Okay, I'm not quite hearing you yet. I know you're hanging on the line. Give us a second. We're going to bring him on here.
I'm here, my man. How are we doing today, sir?
Doing good, man. I'm doing quite well. So tonight, you know, talking a little bit about just a few ways about how to love God more. I just got a couple, about four or five little things that I was talking about. But, I mean, have you ever felt like, hey, I need to learn how to love God more? Have you ever had that feeling, or am I like the only one in the world to feel that?
No. I think as we grow in our relationship, any relationship, if you think about it, though, you know, as you experience somebody and you get joy and peace from that person, you know, there's a thing that's like, I want to love this person more. And I'm just in a season in my life where I truly do want to love God more. And I want to just experience all that he has to offer me and just try to return a portion of the love he's given me.
Yeah, see, and that's what I'm talking about. See, you said something that was pretty important to me. You just said, try to return a portion. See, man, don't you think it's ironic that the commandment that's most important, Jesus said, is love. The greatest of these is love. And if you love somebody, you know what I'm saying? If you love somebody, you study them. You learn, right? And so the first point I wanted to make is this. I wanted to say one of the first things we can do on our journey to learning to love God more is to increase our obedience to his word. In other words, pick up the Bible and learn what the word says, right? And what I mean by that is, remember, whatever it is in your life that you feed, it grows. So if you feed a negative attitude, the negative attitude grows, right? That's why when I was growing up, and Jason, you may remember this, when gangster rap first hit the scene, when N.W.A., and for me, that wasn't the first gangster rap I ever heard, okay? But that was the first mainstream gangster rap for a lot of people. And when you listen to that music, it fed a very negative a feeling or thought inside of a person. Well, the same is with the Word of God. Think about it. If we pick up the Bible and we read the Bible daily, we start to read the Word of God. And what happens is, when I believe that when you do that, it will increase your love for God. Why? Because you will learn His way. You will learn from His words. And in order to truly understand what God wants from us, I believe that we have to study. I believe that we have to study the Word, because when you feed your spirit with good, wholesome words, because Jason, tell me if I'm right or wrong, man, the Bible is still fodder, but real knowledge with knowledge that strengthens us. Am I right? I mean, am I just making this up?
Yeah. No. And there's another part about reading the Bible that I think we miss a lot of. You know, I think there's so much great knowledge and wisdom, but then there's just the character of God, right? And you see how He loved us as human beings from the beginning to the end. And all the things that He's done, you know, you read about the miracles and you know, just some of the loving things, you know, the you know, you hear about these, you know, widow who didn't have, who was on her last, had her last little bit of food, but God was able to deliver her and bring her to a point of not just sustaining, but even excelling. And, you know, to read about the character, to read and understand, like, the character of God, that's one of my favorite things to do, is just to kind of watch how He has interacted with us throughout time. And that helps me love Him more, you know. It's kind of like I said, I always equate my relationship and my love for God like a relationship, a romantic relationship, right? You know, you meet this person, and all of a sudden you go around some people who knew them back in the past, and you hear about some of their past stories, and it just makes you, you know, it endures you. It makes you love them more. It's like, wow, you were like that? Man. You know, so that's one of the things I love about reading the Bible. It's just that opportunity to see the character of God and how gracious and loving and kind He was. And even in some of the what we call the justice part of God, you know that, you know, as a parent, you know, you do want to sometimes have to discipline your kids, but it's done out of love. And you see in all those times, even when He has to pass judgment, quickly He comes back and really try to reestablish the love and the loving part of it. So, yeah, I love that aspect of the Bible.
Because the important thing is that if you just read the Bible and you ignore what it says, then we find that in James, he says that you deceive yourselves. You know what I mean? To truly love God, when we study the Word, when we study the Bible, then it's going to compel us to do what it says. And like you were saying, Jason, it just makes you feel that much closer when you study and understand where someone come from. You know what they did, what they went through, and you just feel connected to them. And that's honestly, that's kind of how the Bible is for me. I feel connected when I read the stories, when I read the Word, when I do everything that I can to follow the Word. So, I just, the teachings in the Bible, I've decided in my life, I'm going to follow those teachings. I'm going to do my best to follow every word and put it into practice. Another thing that I like what the Bible says. It said man ought to always pray. You know, Jason, what does that mean to you? When the Bible talks about that, we ought to always pray. We ought to always be praying. What does that mean to you?
To me, when I was growing up, you get this ideal of prayer that it has to be this big event. You know, you have to get yourself in the right position. You have to be either kneeling. You have to be speaking some different words and stuff like that. And I think there's a place for that. But ultimately, when we talk about prayer, it's a conversation with God, and it's talking to him. And, you know, like I've said a couple of times, it should be a dialogue. It should be me just telling God how awesome and great he is and how much I love him and I care for him, and me listening for what he has to say back to me. So when we talk about prayer, you know, it is a conversation. And you would never think about developing a relationship with somebody you never speak to. You know, or someone did all you do all the talking. You don't ever get to listen and hear what they have to say. So, you know, as we talk about loving God, you know, we want to hear his voice, and we want to seek to, you know, tell him how much we adore him and we love him. You know, so for me, prayer is just that conversation. And like I said, there are times that you do, you know, get in those different positions. You do go through those certain, formal type of interactions. But mostly, it's just talking to God.
Yeah. And see, that's, you know, that is a really, really big thing, because you want to increase your love, you want to learn to love more like God, then you need to increase your prayer. We need to always be praying, because think about this. It's like you said, Jason, we need to talk to him. We need to listen to him. But when you think about it, even in the Bible, you find that Jesus, when you read in the Bible, you find that there were times when he had to get away from everybody. Jesus had to go and be by himself to pray. You know, one of the most common or known aspects of that is the Garden of Gethsemane, when before the Roman soldiers came in, he said, "Hey, y'all stand watch right here. I'm gonna go pray." He had to go be one, just isolation with the Father. And what's great about that to me is that says to me that I need to take out some time to just be with him. You know, I can't spend all my time with people like me all the time. I need some special one-on-one time, because I believe that when we stop praying, and I meet a lot of people who say, "I don't know how to pray." And then I meet a lot of people who they think they know how to pray. Well, they say they know how to pray, or better than that, they're confident in their prayer life, but that we really, truly understand why this is important. And I think it's important to have a very deep prayer life, because it shows how much you believe in Christ. When we don't pray, because the Bible says that we should always pray, right? So when we don't pray, we intentionally ignore what God has instructed us to do. So that's a sign that do we really believe in what God is telling us? Do we really believe in the word? And so one of the ways to show how much you care is to follow the directives, to follow the orders, to follow and do what Jesus did, go where Jesus went. I remember I had a friend who always used to say this: if you do what Jesus did, you'll go where Jesus went. And one of the things Jesus did was pray, and he prayed to the Father. And Jason, I love what you said, because this is important right here. Prayer ain't fancy. It ain't got to be fancy. It's just like what you said. It don't have to be fancy. It simply is a conversation between a father and his child. And if we think of prayer like that, man, how much deeper can our prayer lives go? You know, Jason, when you're having an intimate moment with your mom, I mean, is there anything that you won't tell her?
No. You know, for as we're connecting and we're having that conversation, you just feel comfortable. And opening up and just sharing your life. And then, to have it to be received and then given back to you with just so much love and affection, it's an amazing feeling. And I think when we have those conversations with God, because that's what they should be. They should always be a conversation. It should be about, you know, talking. But more importantly, and this is my challenge right now, is listening,
mm-hmm.
right? Hearing what God mm-hmm. has to say. You know, a lot of times we spend our lives chasing affirmation, chasing positive words, you know, good tidings from human beings. When we got the God of all nations who wants to tell us, well done. And he wants to speak to us, and he wants to celebrate with us, and he wants to just tell us how much he loves us and how much he adores us. And we just got to spend time just listening and just kind of paying attention to what he's saying.
That's right. That is so true because Philippians 4:6-7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then it says, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Man, have you ever been going through a tough time in your life, Jason? And he's saying, God, it's impossible for me to love this person because of the situation I'm in. And you struggle. And again, everybody, I just want to say, we're talking about, let's learn how to love more like God, right? We want to model ourselves after God. So one of the other things we have to do, this whole part about be anxious for nothing, and it leads us to this thing. When you're in a bad situation, it leads us to the next thing we have to learn to do, and that's forgive everyone. Wait a minute. Let there be no exception. Let us forgive everyone. And, you know, that's a tough one for me, Jason. That's a tough one because, man, have you ever been in a situation, and I know you have, where somebody, not only did they do you wrong once, twice, three times, but 200-300 times, and they made your life, they made life so tough, and it altered your, check this out. Okay, let me be for real. I'm going to be honest. I went through a situation in my life where I personally was like, you know, I hate this person. I have to use the word hate. I hate what this person has done. I hate what this person keeps on doing. And the only word I could think of when I thought of this person was the word hate. Oh, but I tell you what, when I started on the trek about learning to love like God and learning to love more like God, oh, my God, I thought I had to figure it out at that point. I just said I can just forgive this person. But, Jason, I will tell you, it was harder for me to forgive myself than it was for me to forgive that person. So when I say another aspect of learning to love more like God is you have to forgive everyone, no exception. I'm starting with you forgiving yourself. If you want to be more like God, if you want to learn to love more like God, you have to forgive yourself first, because I believe that you can't truly forgive other people if you can't truly forgive yourself. Well, what you think about that?
Yeah, I think when you're talking about forgiveness, it's a difficult thing, right? And I think what I've had to do in order to really walk out in that forgive everyone is, you know, as we talk about trying to love God more, is to try to see people as God sees them, right? Too many times, you know, I find myself not seeing the person, but seeing the outcome of that person's choices, whether it be they said something to me, they cut me off in traffic, But man, they physically struck me, right? And I see the outcome and the hurt and the pain that it caused me, and it makes it so hard to really offer that forgiveness, even try to reconcile. But when I have to take a step back and say, okay, how does God see that person? And, you know, and he sees our sins, but he knows our name, but he calls us by our name. And, you know, he doesn't see that person that cut you off. He sees Johnny, and he sees everything about Johnny. And maybe Johnny was having a bad day. Maybe Johnny's rushing to get to his kids because, you know, his kid got hurt or something and is just not paying attention in traffic. And, you know, and when I start trying to see things like that, it makes it easier for me to offer that forgiveness, you know, because it is tough. And sometimes people will do things intentionally. You know, a lot of people say, well, it was an accident. No, sometimes people do things very intentionally. But that's still, you know, that's still no reason not to try to love them and see them like God. Because if we think about it, how many times do we intentionally do things that, you know, displease God? Right? How many times in a given day do we sin in our thoughts, in our action? And you know, the beautiful thing about it is no matter how many times we have done it, no matter how many times that we are doing it or how many times we're going to do it, God's love is there. And so if he can offer that love to me, let me, once again, attempt to offer that love to others.
And that's important, but I also say, even on to that, is that when we talk about that forgiveness part, Matthew 6 and 15 says that, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. See, the reason I said that you have to learn to forgive yourself first so that you can forgive other people, and I believe you need to practice forgiveness. And if you can forgive yourself, man, trust me, I'm talking not just whitewashing it and saying, oh, I forgive. No. I mean, truly in your heart, forgive yourself. I think that that allows you, because I believe that you learn things by doing it. You have to practice this over and over and over. And then when you practice forgiving yourself, because the hardest thing for me to do was forgive myself. And looking at that scripture in Matthew, is look at this. I don't believe that you can willingly receive God's gift of forgiveness, right? Or you can't actually love somebody truly if you're not willing to forgive them of the things that they've done wrong to you. So when I learned to forgive Cedric, I'm going to tell you what happened in my life. What happened in my life was this. When I understood that God had forgiven me, and so it's okay for me to forgive myself, I stopped saying, man, that was stupid. You just dumb. You know what? Oh, I'm just not going to speak to nobody because every time I talk to somebody, I stick my foot in my mouth. I stopped doing all that. It allowed me to relax. It allowed me to say, you know what, Brother Jason, I heard what you said. You know, I ain't really like it. But, man, I love you anyway because you're my dog. You see, when I learned to truly accept the word, now keep in mind that I was looking at what Jesus was doing. I was reading the Bible. I wanted to put that in play into my life. And when I learned to practice forgiving me for all the silly things that I've done, all the hateful things, all the mean and nasty, unchristian-like things that I had done and said and thought, man, it was easy for me to come to my brother Jason because I had practiced that. It was easy to me to come to you, Jason, and say, bro, I forgive you. You know what I'm saying? And that makes us more, that gives us more of an opportunity to love like Christ. Because, listen, if you walk around with a bunch of unforgiveness in your heart, it's kind of hard to love somebody over that anger, that frustration, that rage, that whatever you feel. Because the Bible even says it, that light and dark can't exist in the same place at the same time, right? It's just like you can't worship two gods. You'll love one and hate the other. I choose to love the person and hate the sin and separate the person from the sin. Because when I look at my brother, Jason, when I look at you, I see somebody I care about. I can love that person. And I know that's how God looks at us. right? When we read in the scriptures, that's what it says, right? I mean, it basically says that. Now, that's Cedric 101. You won't find that exact interpretation in the Bible, but when you read the scriptures, that's what he shows you. And so in that, you know, I feel so, I guess what I'm saying is I just feel much better. I've been, over the past couple of weeks, Jason, I've been dealing with this person that I helped out of an ugly situation, and this person has been, man, I'm telling you, everything about this person has changed. And it's like night and day, like, man, it's the spawn of Satan over here. What is going on? Is this person possessed? But again, I choose. See, forgiveness is one of those things. And Jason, correct me if I'm wrong. Forgiveness is one of those things that we have to choose.
Yeah, it is a choice. And you said something earlier, and I think that's what people don't understand. Not only is it a choice, but it is something you have to practice. Forgiveness is not a one-time thing, right? Because I always say I try to practice forgiveness in two steps. First, I've got to forgive you for the action. Then I've got to forgive you for the feeling, right, and the feeling that it caused in me. And that is where it practices. Because I may get over that punch that you gave me, but every time I feel that little bruise on my thing, I get that feeling, and I get that anger, and I get that internal response, and that's when I have to forgive again. And people think forgiveness is a one-time thing. There's times you have to forgive somebody when they're not even in your face, and you ain't seen them in a couple of months because you think about the situation, and you get that negative feeling that comes up, and you just got to – most people, a lot of times, they dive into that negative feeling. They start going through that memory, and they go through all that stuff, and it just reignites that negative feeling in them, and that's the time that you have to forgive them. And every time that feeling comes up, you have to fight it with forgiveness. You know, we talked about it earlier. Whatever we feed is what grows, right? So if I feed that thought by giving it more life, by looking at it, by reminiscing in it, by traveling with it, it's going to get bigger and bigger. But if I feed my spirit of forgiveness and just say, oh, man, it's all right, you know, and just continue to do it, you know, it'll grow in you. And then after a while, you'll start operating in that forgiving spirit where it just becomes natural to you. It becomes just part of how you respond, you know. I like how you said that earlier. It's something we have to practice. And forgiveness is not a one-time thing. Sometimes you may have to forgive somebody 3, 4, 5, 6 times in one day, you know. But just know that every time you forgive them, every time that you offer them their forgiveness, whether they're accepting or not, whether they're even there to even hear it, you know, the fact that you're offering it to them, it shows a love to God. Because at that moment, what we're doing is we're showing love for the thing God loves the most, which is us. And if we can love our fellow man with that same love that God has for us, And that offering of forgiveness is a step toward that. Is a kind of a way of doing that. How pleased God is with us. How encouraged He is. How He's like, man, yes, that's what I want.
See, and I think a lot of times when you think of that, you know, that's what God wants. See, when we focus on what God wants, it kind of allows us not to focus on our own selves. And that's another element to forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is not about us. You know what I'm saying? We make things bigger than ourselves. And when we can't forgive other people, I think that's a very selfish act because we're worried about our feelings. We're worried about our pride. It's always, I'm worried about it. It's me. I'm worried about me. And I think that another thing that helps us to truly get to that point where we can say, okay, God, this is about you. I think there's when you learn that whole thing, because forgiveness is just a major thing, and that's why we have so many problems in this world right now. I mean, we have parents and children, just family members separated because of unforgiveness or shall I say a lack of forgiveness, and that's a very selfish act. So one of the other things, if you want to learn to love God even more, you want to get closer to God, you want to learn to love more like God, you want to, God, I want to be your servant, I tell you what, you have to start to learn to what? To deny yourself. You got to start denying yourself. And what do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? There's a passage of scripture that says that if anyone desires to come after me, right? It basically says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Now some of y'all, when you read that scripture, you don't really understand it. I'm here to tell you that for most of us human beings on this planet, man, that is a very hard thing to do. Very hard to deny yourself, to die to yourself is basically what it is. And dying to yourself, Jason, what does it mean to you to die to yourself?
It's a sense of, like you said, of self-sacrifice. And I think it goes just beyond the physical. It goes to the mental. It means that what I think about a situation isn't the end-all, be-all. What I feel about a situation isn't the end-all, be-all. What I perceive about the situation isn't the end-all, be-all. You know, it's about what God has to tell me about it. You know, so when we talk about dying to ourselves and self-sacrifice, I think to your point, we don't do enough of that. You know, we're always worried about me, you know, how this affected me, how this impacted me, how this made me feel, right, how I see this situation. And we never, ever take it. We need to take a chance to just say, like, okay, God, you show me what you see in this situation. And, you know, for me, my greatest growth has come when I stop looking at the world from my own perspective and looking at the world, mm-hmm. processing the world from my own feelings, from my own experience, right? And really saying, okay, God, what do you want me to see in this? What do you want me what do you want me to do in this? What do you want to reveal to me in this? You know, it doesn't take away the hurt and the pain that may be going through it, but it puts purpose to it. And in that, you see, like, man, God, I thought this was a bad situation, but look what you've done for me, you know. So when you talk about loving somebody, you can't love somebody and be selfish, right? You know, as parents, if you're a parent, you know what selfless love looks like. You know, that kid needs that pair of shoes, and you really wanted that new TV. But you know what? I'm going to get my kids that pair of shoes. And you live selflessly, and the benefits that come from that, it does draw you closer. So self-sacrifice is so important in any relationship, but especially in our relationship with God, knowing that all that he's done for us, right? The level of love that he's given us. I mean, you know, just to, you know, look at the sacrifices he made, his only son, his one and only son. The whole purpose for his coming to earth was just to die for us, you know, and you see, and that's what I was talking about when you read the Bible, how much he loved us and the things he did for us in that love, and selflessly, you know, he did that for us, and the thing we do in return is to die to ourselves and just to love him more.
And see, and that's exactly what I'm getting at, is because Think about this. Like what you said, Jason, he came to die for us, to atone for our sins. That was a selfless act by Jesus to die for us, to be, here it is, to be the bridge, to gap, all right, to fill the gap of our sins and God's holiness. See, without Jesus, we could never, ever, there's no way to get to God without Jesus. And so, you know, he came, and that was a very selfless act. And that's something that we need to learn, that I want people to understand, that the cross symbolized death, right? But what Jesus is saying that we need to put, he says that we need to put all of our pride aside, right? So that we can die to ourselves. We can put all that sin and that selfishness so that here it is, our good, the good about us will help other people live. And not just, man, think about this. I want to live more like Christ. I want to think like Christ. I want to start to act like Christ. I want to live like Christ. And if you want to get there, again, do what Jesus did, go where Jesus went. And so I think that what we have to learn to do as we deny ourselves, this is what's going to help us, is we have to, we basically have to put down some of the wiles of this world, some of the things that we call entertainment. We got to put that stuff down. You know, if having that one sip of wine after dinner is going to cause you to sin, put it down. If walking through the park, because you love to walk and you love nature, but if every 2 or 3 minutes you're breaking your neck looking at this person and that person, stop going to the park when there's people out there. You know what I'm saying? We have to start to die to ourselves. We have to start denying ourselves. And I know that this is, especially in this day and age, when they tell you you can be whatever you want to be, you can be who you want to be, you can do whatever you want to do, you can't tell me what to do with my body, you can't make me wear a mask. You know what? Sometimes, here it is. No, not sometimes. If you want to learn to love more like God, if you want to learn to love God more, do what Jesus did, go where Jesus went. You can't be always number one. Sometimes you have to do things for the greater good, and that means that you have to do something for somebody else over yourself. Just like Jason said, you know what, parents, I mean, there are times when we display a selfless love because we want our children to have what they absolutely need, and we will sacrifice our own happiness sometimes, our own enjoyment, so that our children may move forward. Now, I know that...
I'll tell you, Cedric. I tell you, Cedric, people, we hear this all the time in the church, die to yourself, die to yourself. And you know, to your point, it is, culturally speaking, it's completely, totally opposite. But I tell you, I really tell you, it works, right? And if you think about it from this perspective, if I spend my whole life, you know, thinking about, worrying about how I'm going to get this, how I'm going to get that, most of us have given a gift, and some big, some small, but a true gift from the heart, and they saw the what it is to give, to put somebody first, and they saw how much they just pleased and how it positively affect that person's life. And we've all had that experience. And if we just think about, like, man, I can live in that on a constant state, you know, if I just continue to put people first, to die to myself, you know, it sounds so counterintuitive. But the people who spend their life trying to get the most stuff for themselves, usually at the end, they're the most empty. And, you know, as I was growing up, one of the things that resonated with me so much was when you saw these rich and famous people with all this fame and all this money, and as they were passing away and you hear them, some of their last words, they always said the same thing. I had all this money, but I regret. I would give it all away for this. And what I realized is that, you know, accumulation of stuff, of items, that fulfillment of self doesn't really give you real fulfillment. Real fulfillment comes from when you can die to yourself and give to others. You know, when you accumulate stuff not to keep but to give, to become a conduit. You know, I've heard that expression between a conduit Christian and a cul-de-sac Christian. And when you become that conduit where things kind of flow into you and then they flow out to other people, it's just such a great feeling. And like I said, most people think that they wouldn't even think about it. They're like, what? That's crazy. But then it's really, it really works.
That's right. You're 100% right, because I'm going to tell you, oh, man. When we start to truly follow the teachings of God, we will then, and only then, can we start to reject the ways of this world. You know what I'm saying? Just like what you said, Jason. You know, only then, I believe, can we start to reject the ways of this world, because the world will tell you, take care of yourself. Like I have this saying, I always say, well, God takes care of those who take care of themselves. Now, you won't find that in the Bible. And it's easy to misconstrue what I'm saying. And I like to use that phrase because it makes people question me, right? They want to dig deeper. And so I have to explain it. And one of the things I have to explain is this. We have a part. We got a part to play in everything we do. And the way we help ourselves, here it is if we're following Christ, then God is going to help us. Why? Because we are helping ourselves. Why? Because we are learning his ways. Why? Because the world says it's okay to live together and not be married. Jason, you remember the deep discussions we used to have on marriage and the way
yep.
we do marriage today
yep.
as opposed to the way they did marriage back then? When we reject our own thinking and follow, and we just follow Christ, that's a big deal. You know, that is a huge deal. We got to reject some of the worldly mindsets, the things that keep us bound. Because in Romans, it says that, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. My goodness. For us to love one another, that's the number one commandment, right? It's the greatest of all these, and the greatest of these is love. And we have to reject the teachings or the mindset of the world, because we are, man, we in this world, we are. But we are not, how do I say it, Jason, how do I say it? We're not of the world. We live here, and we have to live here, but there's something bigger, and we got to stop putting ourselves number one. We got to reject that you should take care of you first and then take care of everybody else. Sometimes you have to reject that thought. Sometimes if I got a brand new pair of Nikes and I see somebody on the street who don't even have a pair of shoes, then why should I go buy me a new pair of shoes and not satisfy this other person who truly needs? I don't need. I got 20 pairs of tennis shoes. I may not need. But this guy's walking around here, he don't even have a sole on his shoe. Or maybe it's all taped up. Well, would it hurt for us to do that? And I think that's kind of what Jesus wants us to do. I think that's what I know that's what the Bible teaches us. And the Bible wants us to elevate our thoughts and our mindsets, right? And this is how you know you're elevating your thoughts and your mindsets. Jason, you can tell me what you think. I think that we know that we've elevated our thoughts and our mindsets. Here it is. When we look at the Word, and we look at how we live, and we compare those two, and it seems like what we're doing is lining up with the Word of God. What do you think about that, Jason?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I think, you know, as we talked about the Bible earlier, I don't think not only is it a great story about the character of God, but it gives really good practical views and yardsticks to kind of compare yourself to kind of strive for. And you know, I'll tell you, when you think of things in a biblical fashion, you are going to come into conflict. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of how many times with what the world says. And it's hard, you know, and to try to reject that. Because when you watch TV, when you listen to the radio, when you're on social media, we are just inundated with this idea, with these ideas. And it, you know, as we grow up in them, it's easy for us to acclimate to them. And even what I consider worse is to try to acclimate the Word of God to them. To say, well,
yeah.
To try to make the Word of God fit what the culture says, instead of saying, well, no, the Word of God stands against culture. And know that that's just the way it is. And you know, but once again, I think when we talk about, you know, denying the Word of God, this worldly perspective, it goes hand in hand with denying ourselves, because you know, human beings want to be part of something, and if I take a mindset and a stance that puts me against my neighbor, against my brother and sister, it separates me from them. And there's definitely an intrinsic thing within us that wants that to be part of that group. But when we deny ourselves, what we do is we actually, even if we separate from the physical man, we get closer to the spiritual man and we get closer to the Father. And if you want to talk about safety and security and fulfillment of whatever intrinsic motivator is, come walk intimately close with the Father, and you'll feel a level of fulfillment and satisfaction that you've never felt or even dreamed of before.
Amen to that. See, that's what I'm talking about, and I think that when we start to practice these things, because I tell you what, to learn to love more like God and to develop a closer relationship with God, you know what? It's practice. You got to keep doing this thing over and over and over again. The movie Fireproof, it's a fairly old movie now, but a wonderful movie. And I remember there's a scene in the movie, one guy is struggling to get his wife to respond to him because he's now seen the error in his ways and he's trying to win back her love. And his friend says to him, look, a woman is like a rose. If you water it, she'll blossom. If you don't, she'll die. And, oh, man, you know what? That's just like our relationship with Christ. If we feed it, it'll grow. It's going to continue to grow. We're going to be more like God. We're going to learn to love more like God. And there is nothing that's going to take that away from us. Only we can. I mean, I think that we don't understand the actual power we have. Our spirit, our mind. When that flesh man is suppressed, it's put in its place, it allows our spirit man to go. I always tell people that yearning that you have for love and acceptance, that's your spirit trying to get back to God. Because
you're so amazing. Yeah. You're so amazing. Yeah. You're so amazing.
I'm a sun by you, so astonishing. Future looks bright, so promising. You're a great wonder, no wondering.
Well, you're amazing, you're so amazing, yeah.
I'm amazed by you, I'm in awe. Your ways are perfect, there are no flaws. Hard to come here and know it sounds out, but
well, you're amazing, you're so amazing, yeah.
Referring to the Virgin Mary, it's not a fairy tale. Then we had a plan, but it did fail. Pour it out of blood, I escaped hell.
Well, you're amazing, you're so amazing, yeah.
Set me free, you gave me eternal life. You gave up your life, you sacrificed. Made old things new, made the world right.
Well, you're amazing.
I need to depend on you whenever life gets hard and a bastard on you.
Up in. Look at the name we entangle with. Look at the flame is lit. You cannot shame a kid. Oh, mission, you know it's every day. And we count the cost, that's a major bank. Our sins on the cross, that's a heavyweight. Yeah, you made the way, now we tailor-made. And he done met the man all I ever need. Spirit running through me like I'm on an IV. Now they see me shine bright like some high beam. And we tripping with the vision, cut the visine. And we blazing trails like it's day and time. And we bring the heat like it's wave time. And he take the lead like it's game fine. And y'all be my step through, I bang mine. Praying that these young hitters really get it. Hope that they got amazing, this is not a gimmick. Hope that they're like official, man, it's not a scrimmage. Hope that they hear risen, you can come and get it. They say that they bout they green like they carry. I say that I'm about my king like a blotty. They say that they bout they green like they carry. But I say that I'm about my king like a blotty, yeah.
You gave your life for me.
It's amazing.
You set the cap, the screen.
It's amazing.
You died for a wretch like me.
It's amazing.
On a day, on cow.
I remember when he raised me, and I give him all the praise.
Lord, you're amazing, you're so amazing, yeah.
I remember on the day that Jesus healed my baby. He's a healer, he's amazing.
Lord, you're amazing, you're so amazing, yeah.
can gamble with a maybe. Gotta praise him on the daily. He'll never leave me, never forsake me.
Yeah.
I think the world got it mixed up. Selling your soul for the beef up. Gotta